This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Helena B. from Providence, Rhode Island. And this is Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for July 10th, episode 698. Good morning, Horse World.
Morning. Today is Wednesday.
Hey, everyone. Happy Hump Day.
Happy Hump Day, baby. Here's to another week. Halfway done, the downhill stretch has finally begun.
Daddy, I want another pony.
What do they call Wednesday hump day anyhow? Innocuous jibber-jabber.
Well, it is Wednesday, hump day. Thank you so much for joining us here on Horses in the Morning. We appreciate you taking time out of your day to be here with Helene and I and Jennifer. It's going to be a fun day, a hot one across the country. And Helena, you know, remember a couple of years ago, we actually talked about this on our show over at Stable Scoop, how cities and towns, little towns and big cities across America were thinking they were doing a really good thing by allowing people to have chickens in their backyard because it was the one farm animal that they could allow in the city and not feel, you know, not feel like they were turning into the country. So yeah. All of these towns had allowed all these chickens to be in the backyard, and they were called hipster farmers because they could have chickens and have fresh eggs, and how wonderful and bucolic that would be. Well, apparently it's become a real problem in cities across America because there are hundreds and hundreds of chickens being dropped off at animal shelters in cities everywhere, and they're being overrun with abandoned chickens.
Overrun?
Yes. These animal shelters, some of them have up to 400 to 500 chickens right now at the shelters because the hipster farmers discovered that a few things about chickens that we already knew. One was that chickens poop everywhere. They're really not as easy to take care of as everybody thought. They lay their eggs everywhere, not necessarily just where you want them to be, and that a chicken stops laying eggs about half the year, and they live to be about 14 or 15 and only lay eggs for about half that time. So they have all these chickens they're feeding that aren't really doing anything, and I guess nobody really thought about all that stuff before they got the chickens in their backyard.
No, I just don't know why people would put chickens in the backyard when your backyard is like a postage stamp size. I mean, I get the attraction to chickens, but how could you not think that they're going to poop everywhere?
Well, there's a place called Chicken Run Rescue, which is an operation based out of Minneapolis. Yes, there is a place called that. And the owner is Mary Britton Klaus, and this is what she had to say. Quote, "It's the stupid foodies. We're sick to death of it. People don't know what they're doing. People don't realize how much work they actually are." She's blaming it on the stupid foodies who want organic chicken eggs. And, you know, if you've had chickens in the past and you've had, you know, chicken eggs from the chickens that you feed and aren't, you know, don't have all the hormones and stuff, they are better. I mean, you have neighbors that have chickens, right?
Yes. And his chickens are often in my yard. They come out and hang with the horses and stuff. And they're great. The eggs are definitely better than the store-bought. And my good friend from Chasing a Fox, Sissy Finn, she has chickens, and they're a lot of work. Like, she built her own coop and a fence for them and brings them in at night and lets them out during the day. So there's a whole, like, system that you have to have. And if you got the system down, well, then the chickens really, they're worth keeping, and the eggs are outstanding. But, I don't have chickens because I ain't touching that. That's a lot of work. Horses are easy compared to chickens.
And, you know, everybody always ends up, they either intentionally or unintentionally end up with a rooster or two, too. So I'm sure, you know, some of the roosters that we had were not the nicest chickens in the world. And, you know, they obviously cock-a-doodle-doo a lot. And can you imagine in a neighborhood when the chicken starts crowing at 4 o'clock and the whole block hears it? So I'm sure that the neighbor pressure, too, is bad.
Well, and chickens, when there's a rooster in the flock, they have a tendency to reproduce along the same rate as mice. You end up with lots and lots and lots more chickens.
Yes.
And so that means, or lots and lots and lots more eggs, too.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Well, yeah, you end up with more eggs. You end up with, Susie, the little red hen, is not going to lay her clutch necessarily in the hen house. She's going to go find some hidey hole behind a trash can to nest in, and then the next thing you know, she's going to come popping out of there with 19 chickens, little pee-pee.
Oh, so maybe there should be some kind of like chicken education course.
That's right. That's the thing the cities forgot to put in when they did this ordinance.
Come to think of it, maybe we should have like a parenting education course, a what to do before you get a dog education course,
don't forget horses,
thoroughbred course.
Anyway, that story's all over the internet today. I'm sure you'll see it on Facebook 1,000 times. I just thought it was a chuckle for all of us that do have a farm and understand what kind of work it takes. But anyway, Jennifer, what is coming up on today's show?
On today's What the Heck is Going On Here Wednesday edition, we open our weekly 20 minutes of incoming calls by curious listeners with a penchant for prizes, and then we transition smoothly to the velvet voice Victoria Spicer, here with the hottest stories from Horse and Country TV, and rounding out our Pasture Pluck program, the Horse Health Report reports on summertime horse care challenges. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
All right, it is time to call 347-637-3238 to play the EquityMFG.com Wheel of Trivia, 347-637-3238. If you are calling after you call and you're going to hear a little message that says press 1 to be in the host queue, that's what you want to do. You do want to press 1 to be in the host queue so Jennifer knows that you want to play the game. You can also just call that number to listen to our show every day, and a lot of people do that as well. So it's 347-637-3238 to play the EquityMFG.com Wheel of Trivia. Jennifer's going to get the calls lined up right now. In the meantime, Helene and I are going to your daily minutes. Helena, I have a whole slew of these today. Well, happy birthdays go out to... I'm not going to play a separate happy birthday for all of these. Happy birthdays go out to our listeners, Brianna and Abby, whose birthdays are today. And also our good friend, Deb Shepherdson in Pennsylvania. Hi, Deb. It's been a long time since we've seen Hank and Deb. Some of our best friends going back to the time when I was in the investment business. Used to work with Hank. But I've been bugging him to come down here and visit us in Florida, so I think we'll be seeing them soon. So happy birthday, Deb. You're still older than me, just saying. So, and that's getting hard. Your turn.
My turn. Okay, my daily Winnie is going out to a rescue organization called Noah's Ark. Noah's Ark Rescue, and they have a story. What's so great about these guys is that they're one of the few organizations that are focused on abused animals in particular, not just rescuing animals who don't have homes, but these guys actually take on the cases that most other organizations would put to sleep or euthanize. They're smart about it. They're not obviously going to keep an animal alive that's suffering, you know, unnecessarily, but they do give all the animals that come into their organization a chance. And there's a story about a lovely pit bull mix named Bruno, who was very sadly shot in the mouth. He was dumped in a bad location down in North Carolina, and someone came along and shot him in the face at point-blank range. And destroyed a lot of his mouth, his tongue, part of his tongue had to be removed, and his teeth, and there's bone damage. But the surgeons that are tending to him are able to repair his mouth and his face to a point where he can lead a comfortable life. he just has to have some special apparatus for drinking water because his tongue is so debilitated. But I want you to go to noahsarks.net, noahs-arks.net, and take a look at what these guys do. Be careful. Some of the images are graphic, but they're not so many that you can't get around the site without being inspired to donate. And you can certainly donate a couple of bucks to help with Bruno's medical costs. But they're a really great organization and the kind of people who do the things that most of us can't even look at or think about. So my Winnie is to Noah's Ark's Rescue.
Very good. Well, thank you, Helena. We appreciate that. And I think it is time. It's that time of day when we play. When we play this.
It's time for the EquityMFG.com
Wheel of Trivia,
where every week, unsuspecting horse enthusiasts call the show with illusions of trivia grandmaster dancing in their heads, willing to risk all for their chance to spin the wheel and possibly win some fantastic prize. Or answer incorrectly and have torn away every ounce of equestrian street cred they have, like an old bell boot.
I don't know why that makes me chuckle every time. That is right. It is time for the EquityMFG.com Wheel of Trivia. This is how it works. If you are on the line, stay on the line. We'll take multiple callers today. And we will ask you a trivia question from some categories that Helena is going to tell us about in just a minute. If you get that trivia question correct, you will hear the bell sitting here on my desk. And if you get it wrong, you're going to hear the high school basketball buzzer. We have some terrific prizes on there today. We have Troxel helmets, we have Carrots breeches, we have gift certificates for retailers. We just have a bunch of different stuff. We have some books, we have some applications for your phone, just a whole bunch of different things. Memberships to different websites, 14 different things on the wheel today worth hundreds and hundreds of dollars. And then we also have the crappy prize, which is a brand new bag of assorted colorful combs. It seems like those combs have been around for a long time, Helena. Nobody's landed on those in a long time.
You know what? I want the combs.
Should we send you our assorted bag of colorful combs?
Yeah. Dude, I have like crazy curly Italian hair. I need combs.
And I'll tell you what, I'll throw in here today. If somebody wins the, it lands on the colorful bag of assorted colorful combs, I will give them a product that we're reviewing on this week's Stable Scoop show called the Noble Equine 5 O'Clock Hoof Pick. I will throw in the 5 O'Clock Hoof Pick. That's a $12 value right there.
Yeah, and that's a good hoof pick, too.
Yeah, and if you want to hear more about that, hoof, yeah, either one. If you want to hear more about that, you can listen to Stable Scoop this week upcoming because I have a review of the Noble Equine 5 O'Clock. You'll see why it's called the 5 O'Clock Hoof Pick. All right, give us the categories, Helena.
Okay, the categories for today are not-so-vital statistics, 20th century history, or recently seen at the barn.
Very good. And we always have a kids category that we have a couple of questions in if we have any kids calling us. So we encourage that, too. It's just a lot of fun to talk to them. Well, we are taking our first caller as a new caller, and we have Becky in Connecticut.
Good morning.
Well, hey, Becky. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Becky, tell us a little bit about your horses. Do you have horses, or what? Do you ride? What do you do?
We don't, but we live near a bunch of farms, and my daughter's friends ride, and so we're starting to think about getting her into riding. She's 8.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Oh, that's perfect.
Terrific.
More minions.
Yes, right.
Do you have your checkbook out every day ready to write those checks?
I used to nanny for a family, and they played polo, and I thought, never, never, but, you know, the riding isn't as bad, I guess.
Well, the one nice thing, your daughter probably won't get into polo, so you won't have to have six horses. You only have to have one.
That's
so
great.
That's
That's right. That'll be a little easier.
Well, now you know, Glenn, that her daughter is totally going to get into poll.
Yeah, I know.
Now that I said that.
Exactly. The rebellion.
Just saying, Becky.
Mommy, I want to do the one with the stick and the ball.
Right. That's what I
know. Okay. So these are the categories for today, Becky. We have not so vital statistics.
Okay.
20th century history, obviously horse history, and then recently seen at the barn.
Let's try 20th century horse history.
Okay.
Oh, hold on, Alina. I got to get things. Okay. I'm situated. Go ahead.
You ready? You sure?
I'm sure.
All right. Here we go. In what year were the Summer Olympics held in Atlanta, Georgia?
Ooh, that was recently. Let's see. Last year was London. No, that wasn't recently. That was when
five
I was little.
Seconds.
Let's 1996.
Holy crap! You got it.
Woohoo! They're every 4 years, right? Or every two for the summer, and every I don't know how it works.
That's very good. I was about to hit the buzzer. And by the way, I forgot to mention the 5 second rule, but I was about to hit the buzzer.
That would have been helpful. Well, now everybody else knows. 5 second rule.
That's right. 5 second rule for everybody. Well, that's good. Congratulations. You get to spin
Thank
the
you.
Wheel. So let me get the wheel situated here. Make sure the microphone's on so you guys can actually hear it. All right, here we go. Can you hear it today?
I can hear it.
Yay. I can fix that. Oh, you actually, your daughter is going to be very, very happy with this prize. She,
well, that's good.
Yeah, very happy. It's one of our bigger prizes on the wheel, and you got it. She wins a Troxel Intrepid helmet worth $70.
That is lovely. She'll be extremely thrilled with that.
Well, she will, and I'll tell you why, is because this is the helmet that Troxel has. Let me just read you about the helmet, and I'll tell you why she's going to love
sure.
this. It's ultralight, low-profile design created for schooling and all-purpose riding. Large vents provide superior ventilation for cooler, more comfortable ride. The self-adjusting Cinch Fit Pro adjusts to the size and shape of the rider's head, so it fits longer. So you're going to like that. You won't be buying our new helmet every year and a half. And the soft
Wonderful.
Tip visor provides extra sun protection. But the coolest thing is this is one of their helmets that comes in colors. Ruby, black,
you're
periwinkle,
kidding.
Pink, pearl, and cobalt. So,
man, that's awesome.
She'll get the if she's a little.
I've never
pink
heard
girl,
of the colored ones. That's great.
I know.
It's a really nice looking helmet, too.
Yeah.
And its price point, it's awesome.
That is awesome.
Matter of fact, we own one of these, so I know exactly about this helmet. And as a mother, you love helmets that are going to fit for longer than 1 year as their head grows.
Yes, so. With three children,
She gets it. With three kids, she gets it.
That's right, I get it.
That's awesome, Becky. I'm excited for
so
you.
So cool. I am so excited for her. This will be a great start to, start her uniform up. So.
Well, now that little one is not riding anytime soon, I'm guessing.
No, she is not.
She's thinking about it, though. She's telling you about it.
She is.
Are we sure this is not Jamie and we're being punked again, Helena?
No.
My co-host has won that age, so.
That's funny.
All right, hold on, and Jennifer will get to you here in a minute and get your address and all the details so we can get that off to Troxel.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you, Becky. Okay, we are going to our next caller. Is another new caller player, and is Teresa from our home state of Kentucky. Hello, Teresa.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. So, how old are you, Teresa?
I'm 13.
13. Cool. Very good. And you've never called before?
No. This is my first time.
How old?
And she's sorry she did today. Yeah.
Oh, she loves to talk to us. Helena, how old's your daughter, Gracie?
She is 10 and a half.
10 and a half. Okay, so not quite as old as Teresa, but catching up.
Nope, not quite there. Although she likes to think she is sometimes when she's arguing about her bedtime. What time do you go to bed?
Like 9 or 10 o'clock.
Oh, I'm telling her. See, even a 13-year-old goes to bed at a reasonable hour. Okay.
So now.
What kind of horses do you have? Yeah. Do you ride? What do you do?
I've been riding for about 4 years, and I've been riding Western for 3, and I just started English.
Excellent. Excellent. All right, we have 3 categories for you today. we have not so vital statistics, 20th century history, or recently seen at the barn?
I'm going to go with recently seen at the barn.
Okay. These are kind of cute.
Yeah, these are more of an essay question, so you have to listen closely.
Yeah. Okay. Sarah and Freddie went to look at a horse they found on Craigslist. They arrived to find a friendly bay horse, a little thin, bathed to within an inch of its life, standing in the barn aisle. Sarah asked the owner what the horse's fitness level was, as the horse was kind of tucked up like a thoroughbred after a hard race. After glancing at its hooves for just a moment, not even picking them up or asking the horse to move, Sarah told Freddie this was not a good prospect for his new endurance horse. What did Sarah see?
Could you describe, like, the conformation of the horse again?
He was tucked up underneath like a thoroughbred after a hard race.
He was a little thin.
Didn't even move, didn't pick up his feet.
Okay.
5 seconds.
Oh.
Look at his... Think of the hooves. Think of the hooves.
Oh. Founder? Is that what it's called?
What did they see on the hoof that would indicate that, do you think?
Gosh, I remember this from horse education hours.
Well, she knew that she used the context, which is great. She used the context. What you see is the ring on the hoof wall indicating founder. But the context is his fitness level, the fact that he was tucked up, and of course he didn't even have to take a step for you to think founder. So that's a great job.
Thank you.
Terrific. Well, you get to spin the wheel. We're getting all kinds of winners here today. So let's spin the wheel and see what we have. All right. Okay, now I'm going to give you a choice here, Teresa. You have won a prize that is worth $15. I'm not going to tell you what it is. You can keep that, or you can spin again. Now, the possibility is you can get something better or something worse, okay? So this is sort of like that. What was that TV show, Helena, that used to pick door A or door B, and behind door B was always the donkey?
Let's make a deal.
Okay, so this is like let's make a deal. Do you want to keep this prize and I'll just tell you what it is? Or do you want to spin again for possibly a better one or maybe a worse one?
Oh, this is such a tough choice.
I know. That's why I did it to you.
Spin again.
All right, so you can keep the prize that's worth $15 that I just landed on the wheel, or we can spin again and see if you win something better or something worse. But you have to keep the second one. It's up to you. Keep this one or spin again.
I'll spin again.
Okay. Oh, she's a gambler.
I love a risk taker. Atta girl.
She lives in Kentucky. She's tough. All right. Let's see what she gets. Oh, Teresa, you should have stuck with the first one. You actually did. Somebody finally, after 6 weeks, has landed on the bag of you of assorted colorful combs. I'm sorry about that. You got the bad prize today. It's not bad. I mean, it's a bag of colorful combs, and I'm throwing in the 5 o'clock hoof pick from Noble Equine. So I'm sorry about
that's
that.
That's a good deal.
That's nice hoof pick though. So. Now, I can't tell you what the first prize was because somebody else might win it today. But hold on, and Jennifer will get your name, and thank you so much for calling to play.
Thanks, Teresa.
Okay, thank you.
I feel bad. I always feel bad when somebody actually lands on the crappy prize.
then don't have a crappy prize.
I know, but that's part of what they do on game shows. So it's like we thought we had to do it, you know? Hey, here's somebody.
We're big mushpot.
The next one up, and I know I'm too soft. The next one up here, I know, posted that she was going to have to set her alarm to get up this morning. So we have Kat from Missouri on. Hello, Kat.
Hi, Kat. Yes, I finally set my alarm to get up, so I'm happy just because I wanted to talk to you guys all the same this morning.
I'm just happy we have someone with horse knowledge on the phone today so we can ask them the really, 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 really tough questions.
Yeah, I was afraid of that. This is the only time I've been nervous to call in and talk to you guys. I'm like, I don't know. I'm probably just going to fail miserably, and my street cred goes to shame, so...
Well, we are going to we're going to ask Kat the toughest question on the list. That's going to be our rule today. Yeah, you're welcome. Have you been riding out there in Missouri?
No, I haven't. We've just been taking care of the horses out back, trying to nurse them back to health because they're retired and pretty lame. But I'm trying to look for a kind of a local stable around here to start getting back into riding.
Very good. All right, Helena, give her the categories.
All right, my dear. The categories are not-so-vital statistics, 20th century history, or recently seen at the barn.
How about we do this? You just pick a random question out of any category for me, since you're trying to go as hard as we can.
I love it. I love it. A girl who likes a challenge. Okay. Okay, here we go. This is coming from 20th century history. The genetic disorder, HYPP, has been traced to what popular quarter horse sire?
Ooh. You know, we talked about this on a show one day, I think.
Oh.
5 seconds.
I know. I'm thinking. I don't know this one. This one I know came up in kind of the random... I don't know. I'm going to have to go.
You got the basketball buzzer.
I hate that basketball buzzer. He knows I hate that basketball buzzer. I think he secretly likes to press the basketball buzzer.
Yeah.
The answer is impressive.
Mm-hmm.
HYPP has been traced back to the quarter horse sire, impressive.
And actually, any quarter horse owner knows that, because that's something that's talked about a lot, is HYPP. And I think we've even talked about it on the show here before, but I couldn't remember either if I didn't have it in front of me.
And me being the forever shopping horse shopper who shops forever, knows to look for it too, because, I don't know, because when people advertise their quarter horses, they have to say, you know, but whether they're HY, they have it or not, right? Don't they have to disclose it?
That's right, yep.
Part of, not everybody does.
Yeah, because they're trying to get it out of the bloodlines and out of the breeding pool. So, yeah. Well, thank you, Kat. We have to run here. Thank you.
All right, thanks, guys. Bye.
Thanks, Kat.
Hey, if everybody wants, Kat does a terrific blog called Eat Your Tart Out. So you can find her on Facebook at Eat Your Tart Out. All right, we have time for one more. Let's take Jessica, a new caller from North Carolina. Good morning, Jessica.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Good. So tell us a little bit about Jessica and your horses.
I've been riding since 2007, and I have a paint horse.
Oh, cool. Very good. What kind of riding?
I do Western.
Very good.
Excellent. So you know the HYPP question, don't you?
Yes.
You know all about that.
You knew that horse? You knew impressive?
Yep.
See, I told you every quarter horse owner would know that.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Very good. How old are you, Jet?
All right.
How old are you?
I am 13.
13? Good.
Okay. So 13, if she knows her stuff, she's old enough to have the grown-up question.
Yeah, she gets a grown-up question. She sounds intelligent to me.
Here we go. You can choose from not-so-vital statistics, 20th century history, or recently seen at the barn.
Let's do recently seen at the barn.
Ooh.
Okay. Here we go. Last Tuesday morning at morning feed, Barbie started to toss hay to the horses first thing, just like she did every morning. Having run out of hay, she went to the loft and tossed down 2 more bales, exactly what she needed to finish the morning feeding. She hated having leftover hay downstairs. She smiled as she watched the first bale careen across the barn, bouncing off the far wall and startling the barn cat off its perch above the grooming stall. But her smile turned to a frown as soon as the second bale hit the floor. She swore a little bit as she dropped down a third bale. Why did she throw down the third bale?
Oh, gosh, give me a hard question.
This is a tougher one. These long ones are sort of like the ones you used to get in high school where they said the train was traveling 80 miles an hour to Chicago.
I know.
You know, when was it going to get there? You know?
She only needed two bales of hay.
Okay.
But she threw down one and it bounced across the barn. She threw down a second one, lost her smile, and then threw down a third one. What did she see?
Can I just give a random guess?
Yeah, just take a guess.
Oh, I don't know. Really?
5 seconds are up. Helena?
The answer is Barbie threw down a third bale because the second bale did not bounce, indicating it was moldy.
Yeah, Jennifer gave a lot of clues in that one. It was actually pretty well written. I give her credit. She gave a lot of clues in that one about the first one bouncing everywhere and the second one going, you know, hitting the floor, you know. And
yeah.
I am so guilty of that. I scare the hooey out of everybody in town when I throw my hay down. The cats go flying, the barn swallows, the horse is just like, again, you do it again.
Well, sorry, Jessica. Please give us a call back. You can give us a call back as often as you would like. We play every Wednesday, okay?
Okay.
And you have fun with your horse.
Okay, thank you.
Bye.
A lot of smart people calling today and intelligent kids calling today. That's fun. Well, that's all we really have time for. We have to mention that EquityMFG.com was the sponsor of the segment for the Wheel of Trivia. They have the best manure forks in the world. Hands down, no question, just go to EquityMFG.com, order one of their Flexin forks. If you clean less than 3 stalls a day or you have to clean paddocks, you get to choose your size of tines, either the skinny ones, depending on your type of bedding. It explains it all right there on the website, or you can get the wider tines. Or if you really want to improve and save money on bedding and improve your time getting your barn done, if you clean more than 3 stalls a day, get the Shaken fork. Yep, that's the one you have to plug in every night. Because it has a motor in it. You press the trigger, the head shakes, and it does all the work for you. All you have to then do is dump out the manure into the bucket, and you haven't wasted any bedding, and it cuts your cleaning time in half. So check out EquityMFG.com for the best manure forks in the world. And Helena, just say I, because I know you love them too.
I. I know. That's no joke. I do love them.
Yes. And Jamie right now told me the other day that, you know, having just had a baby, she's out there cleaning the paddocks again. But she said, you know, they have stalls now. They kind of have stalls that they don't have stalls like we picture stalls, but they actually have, you know, gated in areas where they keep the horses. And she said that she uses, now that she's using bedding, she uses the Shaken fork. And she said, having just had a baby, it's a godsend because it does, you don't have to do all that shaking, you know, it does all the work for you. So that is kind of neat how it works. And it does last. Ours lasts quite a while. Now, we're only cleaning one stall with it, but it lasts quite a while before we have to plug it in. It's not like the battery's going dead halfway through your stalls. We have some professional stall cleaners that are listeners that use both of these forks every single day. EquityMFG.com. Well, next up is going to be Victoria Spicer. We're waiting for her to come on the air all the way from England. But I got to tell you that in Sioux City, Iowa, yesterday, officials fined a man for leaving a horse tied to a tree outside an elementary school. It's one of those bizarre stories that we get here every once in a while at Horses in the Morning. His name was Levi Welliga. And he was riding his horse home, Helena, get this, called Midnight Lady. Well, he was riding his horse home well after midnight, actually early in the morning on Tuesday, when he realized it was too late to bring her back to her pasture about 20 miles away. So what did he do? He tied her to a tied this 13-year-old horse to a tree near the Unity Elementary School and left to go home, and then planned on just picking her back up later in the morning. Well, somebody reported the horse tied to the tree in front of the elementary school, and they fined him $375 for tethering and neglect. I have one question with this story, and it's the question we always ask with these stories. Do you think alcohol was involved, Helena?
Alcohol or stupidity, either one.
I think it's both.
You know, and I think the fine should be a lot higher. You know what? I'm almost, the alcohol part is forgivable, but if it was just plain old stupidity, that needs to be like a $15,000 fine.
I have another story too, but I'm going to get Victoria on before we start her segment here. Victoria Spicer from horseandcountry.tv. Before we officially start your segment, I have to bring you into this story. Are you there, Victoria?
I am indeed.
All right, so this is a story I found, too, that I thought you guys would love. Local town in Sweden attacked with 250 gallons of horse manure. Did you see this story, Victoria?
I didn't, no.
Angry residents dumped hundreds of gallons of horse manure on the local town in Sweden on the town hall steps. Apparently, the Swedish police said employees of Grums Municipality in western Sweden were forced to find their way past more than 250 gallons of manure that had been dumped outside town hall. We suspect that people wanted to express their dissatisfaction with the municipality, but no suspects were identified. There's one of those, here's your sign, duh moments, you know? Yeah, I guess they probably weren't happy with town hall.
I think you might be right.
Or, I had another thought on this one. It costs money in Sweden probably to have your manure picked up, and this was just a free way to get rid of it.
Good thinking.
Maybe we should all do that. Bring our manure down to town hall. What do you think? Start a movement.
Yeah.
Well, Victoria, it is time for your segment. And of course, that calls for this.
Now it's time for the European Report with Horse and Country TV.
Well, Victoria, it has been an interesting week over in England, and it mostly has been interesting for the tabloid magazines, hasn't it?
It has indeed, and my music's all very regal, which is quite apt for this first story, which is, of course, the news that Aventa Zara Phillips, the Queen's granddaughter, is expecting her first baby.
We talked about this on Monday when Jamie was here because, you know, Jamie rode all the way up until she was like 8.5 months pregnant. And now she's riding, a couple weeks after having the baby and going to her first show this weekend. So we had the discussion, how long do you think the Royals will let her ride? Because I read that she took a tumble this past weekend over at Barbary.
She did in a 2-star event. And that, of course, has caused a bit of outcry because some people are saying that it's not fair and it's too risky for the child. But, you know, Zara's a former world and European champion. And I think people forget that event riders do this day in, day out. You know, if you go to an event on a weekday, this is not badminton or whatever. They're out there multiple times a week with strings of horses going round the cross country again and again and again. And they know the courses and they know their horse and how it reacts. And actually, bad falls are quite infrequent, and yes, they do happen, but they can happen at any time. And I think fair play to Zara for continuing to ride.
Do you think she'll go to 8.5 months like Jamie did?
I don't. I think she'll struggle to get the body protector around the bump at that stage. When all this was happening, I thought I'd give my mum a ring and find out if she rode when she was pregnant with me. And she said that she continued riding till about 6.5 months with my older brother. And then her bump wouldn't fit above the saddle anymore, so she had to start riding. And she said she was out for a hack, and she bumped into her GP when she was out riding, and she thought she was about to get a telling off. And the doctor just looked at her and said, I'm glad to see you're taking part in healthy exercise. So she didn't get in trouble at all. And then did she ride with me? You know, the one of the two, me and my brother, that's gone on to be horse eating? No, because my brother was being such a pain at that stage that she had her hands full and couldn't ride.
Well, I think there's the verdict there. There's the verdict. You turned out to be a wonderful person who rides horses. Your brother is still probably a pain. And look, so keep riding until you're 8.5 months old. That's the verdict.
Exactly. Keep riding.
Helena, how long did you, I don't remember how, I know, how long did you ride?
I made it to a little over 5.5 months because I guess when you're pregnant, your ligaments and stuff start to soften and stretch in your hips and things.
Yeah.
You know, in preparation for giving birth. And so I couldn't control my body anymore. I was like Gumby in the saddle. And I wasn't doing anything like 2 stars. I was just hacking around and jumping cross trails at the time. But I was flopping around like a big fish up there. So I decided to just call it a day.
I guess your body tells you when it's ready, right?
It did. I did. And I tried. Like, I really, my thighs were nice and strong, but my hips were just like jello. It was not working for me.
Poor Victoria. You didn't call in for baby talk this morning, did you?
No, a bit early for that.
Well, Victoria, there was a news story that we have not covered yet here today, but I'm glad you're bringing it up. Tell us about Laura Collett.
Yes, my talking of eventing being a risky sport, sadly to say that Laura Collett, who is a top eventer over here, she had a bad fall while out on the cross country on Monday, and she's in intensive care. So the whole of the eventing world, especially here, is rooting for her and sending her best wishes. And I think she's been woken up and she's regained consciousness. And then I think the latest news yesterday was that she was asleep again, and it's just giving her time to recover. But just really hoping she makes a full and swift recovery.
Was it a rotational fall?
Yes, rotational fall, which is obviously the ones that tend to end in the worst injuries. And she's quite a young girl. I think she's in her early 20s, but she was one of our Olympic hopefuls last year, and then she just didn't quite make the final team. But she's a very, very good rider, and it's just a real shame to see her having a bad fall.
And this was if I remember what I read, wasn't this a thoroughbred that was also like a 7-year-old? Am I right about that?
I'm not sure if it was a thoroughbred. I think it was quite a young horse. So yes,
it was one of Oliver Towne's old horses, if I remember right.
I see. Yeah.
Well, we wish her the very best and her family for a happy outcome there. You know, even the vests and the air vests and things don't protect you all that well from a rotational fall. So,
yeah, absolutely.
They do protect from a lot of falls, though. They do that. Now, you have the European Championships are fast approaching.
We do, which is quite remarkable for one thing, is that Andrew Nicholson can't win, being a New Zealander. It's the one competition that he can't win, considering he just is winning everything else. So, yes, we're now selecting our teams. We've had our eventing team chosen, and we've got William Fox-Pitt, of course. He's on the team, and Tina Cook. But then we have some new people back on the team, Piggy French, who sadly missed the Olympics last year, and a couple of newcomers as well. So it was quite an exciting time.
Well, and William has to be going, I have a chance at this one this year.
Exactly. No William to stand in his way. So, yes, but again, quite surprising that some of the old faithfuls from London 2012 aren't back on the team, although now we know why Zara is not on the team. So that makes more sense.
Yeah, somebody asked her, I think, whether she was still looking towards the Olympics, and I don't think she quite answered the question. I think she avoided the
avoidance. Denial.
She's having the baby at the perfect time, because she's just done London 2012, and then the baby will be, toddling around by the time we get to Rio 2016, so she can be back on the team then.
Yeah, right, exactly. Well, you guys have been known for in recent years your very, very strong para teams. And tell us there's some news on that front too from England.
Yes, so the para championships run just before the eventing championships. So eventing's held in Malmo in Sweden at the end of August, and about the week before we have the jumping, dressage and para championships in Denmark, so quite close by. And again, it's the same kind of mixture of Olympic faithful. So Sophie Christensen's back on the team, and Natasha Baker. But we also have some people that have been on the team for years and years, like Lee Pearson, who hasn't got a place on this year's European. So it's some switching around, and it'll be good to see if we can keep our stronghold on the para scene.
Lee is an exceptional rider. I got to see him ride at the World Equestrian Games over here, and he's just an amazing rider and really has led the way, although Sophie's like a triple gold medal winner. So you guys just have had the team. You really put it together in the para, and I think one of the reasons for that is, and we do, by the way, on the Dressage Radio Show once a month, we open it up, and it's hosted by the Para Dressage Association here in the United States, and it's a whole show about para every month. And you guys just have put the support behind it. You've got the horses behind it, and you've supported it really well. And I think that's why you've done so well with it.
I think you're right. And also, it is a big thing. You know, we have a massive riding for the Disabled Association, which just is this great grassroots of getting people with a disability into the sport. And the horses is just crucial. And I was watching something on our channel earlier about Natasha Baker, and she's got these her JP, who's her Olympic gold medal winning horse, and then she's training a new one called Bam Bam, and she started to explain in the show, you know, what work she's doing to get him established, and how she trains a youngster like Bam Bam to be established and well behaved as JP, and it's just fascinating. But when you look at the list of who owns the horses, you know, there's a couple of charitable trusts that own our Paralympic horses, and that's what we need, is these good horses coming through. And I think that's why Lee Pearson isn't on the team, because his Olympic horse last year was getting to the end of his career, and you know, there's a little bit of comment of, was he entirely level on the final day, and so now he's looking for a new horse for the next Paralympics, so it's just a case of timing, I guess. He's just not got the right horse yet.
Well, badminton, speaking of which, badminton is appointing a new course designer. I read this earlier in the week, and why is that? Who was it before, and why are they making a change?
Well, Hugh Thomas has been the course designer at badminton, as well as the actual event director for 25 years, and I think no one can question that he's done an amazing job over the years. And then earlier this year, there was a little bit of comment, because he designed the course in 2012, which was going to be a pre-Olympic run, but that means a lot of the Olympic horses wouldn't have been competing at badminton. And so he designed the course for 2012, and then, of course, we had the deluge and the event got cancelled, and you don't rebuild a course that's never been jumped. So all he did was update it. And what a difference 12 months makes. We went from having, a pre-Olympic course without our megastars to having possibly the strongest field in the history of the event. And we went from torrential floods to perfect going. And because of this, badminton actually didn't have a lot of, the cross-country pace didn't have a lot of influence on the overall scoreboard. And one rider sort of said, you know, this is just a 3-star course with a couple of 4-star elements. Still looked absolutely massive to me when I
yeah,
walked
exactly.
the course. And nobody wants accidents, or, you know, you don't want to see horses and riders coming a cropper, but you don't want it to turn into a dressage competition. And there was a little bit of a risk of that happening this year. And so they're bringing in somebody new. They're bringing in an Italian course designer, and he's going to do it for 3 years on a trial basis. And yeah, there's going to be a bit of change at badminton.
Okay, so Jamie always makes fun of me for not being able to say names correctly. Give us the name of the Italian designer there, Victoria.
I don't think I can do it. I don't think I even want to. I don't think
it's
I want
Giuseppe.
To even
I know the first name is Giuseppe, and then it's Della, and then it's Chiesa? Chiesa?
That sounds about right.
Giuseppe Della Chiesa. Now, Helena could probably do that. You're Italian. You could probably say that name. Giuseppe Della Chiesa. That's what I'm going with.
I have to see it in writing. Spell it for me.
You still wouldn't get it. So that's great. That's interesting. You know, he's been a guest on our shows many, many times over the years, and is a neat guy. And you know, I think he probably, of course, I think he probably just thought he was doing the right thing, and it backfired a bit, and that just happens, you know. But after 25 years, maybe he wanted out too.
Yeah, maybe you wanted a rest, but also it's a case of keeping it exciting and, you know, not knowing what's going to come and what questions are going to be asked. And the sport has evolved. If you look at the old days when we just had huge big rider frighteners, and now it's a lot more technical and intricate, so it's always interesting to have some fresh blood.
Okay, we have time for one more, the video of the week, which you're talking about a little county show in England.
Yes, it's just a really nice video. I don't know if you guys have the same kind of thing with county shows than when you have agriculture and the farmers show their cattle and their sheep, and then they have like show jumping and showing and displays and things. So we've done a show where Jenny Rudo goes off to her local county show and just meets some of the people involved. So if that sounds familiar, check out How the Brits Do It. And if it sounds completely alien, check out How the Brits Do It. And it's quite fun to watch.
We actually do have those quite a bit over here in certain parts of the country. And it was funny seeing Jenny after covering the Olympics and doing all these big shows that you guys do off at a little county show with some really fat hunter horses, let me add.
They're not fat, they're just well conditioned.
Oh. I was just happy to see we're not the only ones.
About myself from now on. I'm not fat, I'm just well conditioned.
Hey, we have to do
I have seen jumpers with those slogans on saying I'm not fat, I'm in show condition, which I thought was quite funny.
Hey, one more thing before we let you go. We're all going to bow down right now and congratulate you on with horses. We got to talk to you about one of the most important things that happened in England last weekend was Murray's win of Wimbledon. Congratulations.
Oh, I was so happy. My fellow countryman. And when he won the US Open, I was just like, he's finally won the Grand Slam. And doesn't matter if he doesn't win another one. And then Wimbledon came around and it suddenly thought maybe Andy Murray will win. And I was so happy and watched it with a big bunch of my friends from home. And it was just really nice.
I got to ask you, we were watching it and, you know, that last game, which lasted about 20 minutes. We over here in America were dying because we wanted Andy to win. And I thought I was going to have a heart attack in the last game. It must have been unbearable for you.
It was. And I'm blaming my best friend for this because we were watching the game and she said it was just really strange for her to be supporting Scotland and not to be horribly defeated or completely without hope or have a narrow win and think it's all going to go terribly wrong any minute. And the minute she said that, Andy started making mistakes and Djokovic got back into it from love 40 down, and he got back into the game, and we thought, oh gosh, he's going to win this set and it's going to go to a fourth set or a fifth set, and we we started to panic. So it's all her fault, but it made for quite an exciting game in the end, so I'll let her off.
I thought it was interesting, too, that for one of the first times in history, the British, really were happy for this, for a person from Scotland and adopted him as their own.
Well, this is the problem with Andy Murray, is that I think English people are quite happy to accept, you know, that when Scottish and Welsh people do well and they'll call them British, but there's always then a bit of antagonism if somebody refers to him as England's Andy Murray, because of course he's not, he's Britain's or Scotland's, he's not England. And then there gets to be a bit of tension, and then there's obviously a bit of politics involved. And we had, I don't know if you saw, but after the game, the Scottish First Minister unfurled the Scottish flag because he wants it to be independent. So it's all very political.
Well, I was very happy.
It's not appropriate.
I thought about you, Victoria. I was very happy for you. I really was.
Oh, thank you. I was delighted. Well done, Andy.
Good job. Well, they'll be heading over here next for the U.S. Open. And now that we're done with tennis talk here on Horses in the Morning, thank you, Victoria. We appreciate you being on again. Of course, it's horseandcountry.tv. Thanks, Victoria.
My pleasure. Thank you.
I love having her on. She's so much fun.
You know what? She's fun because you like to tease a little.
She's so much fun, and we do learn a lot from everything going on over there in Europe. Well, let's take a break for our song today. We're going to switch gears here today with, you know, a lot of times we play Templeton Thompson songs. Well, today I'm going to play one of her husband's songs. His name's Sam Gay, and he has a song that I love called Carny Clown. We're going to do that right after this message from the Horse Radio Network, and we'll be back with the Horse.com's weekly horse health report.
Jen here, host of the Horse Tip Daily Show on the Horse Radio Network. The way consumers interact with the brands they have trusted for years and those they are about to fall in love with for the first time is becoming more and more mobile, literally, and will continue to do so for the foreseeable future. Podcasts or internet radio shows like this one combine the new consumer preference for on-demand information and entertainment with the power of niche market audiences. Advertising on the Horse Radio Network podcasts allows you to reach the equestrian consumer using today's preferred on-demand delivery system. It's cost-effective and flexible, able to reinforce your existing marketing and social media strategies. To learn more about advertising on this show or any of the shows on the Horse Radio Network, contact us at 859-951-2022 or you can email us at glenn@horseradionetwork.com. That's Glenn with two N's at horseradionetwork.com. Come and join the Horse Radio Network family. You'll enjoy the ride.
I'm just a carny clown. I live for the roaring crowd. My stage is a grimy tent, which I share with elephants and lions and tigers and bears. Oh my. I joined at a tender age, the dreams of seeing far off places. Now that I've been coast to coast, the thing I think I miss the most are friends who do not have tattoos. Oh my. Sometimes I wonder what a real life would be like. Two kids and a wife, and going home each night. And when the circus rolled round to our sleepy little town, we would join in the crowd and laugh at the carny clown. My best friend stands 3'4". His name is Ernest McLemore. He juggles fire and walks on stilts. Yeah, he lives bigger than he's built. He's petite, but larger than life. Oh, my. Sometimes I wonder what a real life would be like. Two kids and a wife, and going home each night. And when the circus rolled round to our sleepy little town, we would join in the crowd and laugh at the carny clown. I'm just a carny clown till the late show lights go down, and I wipe off this grease paint grin and climb back on the train again and roll and roll and roll. Oh my, oh my, my, my.
Well, that is Carny Clown by Sam Gay, Templeton Thompson's husband. He has a whole bunch of fun songs that he sings, and we'll start sharing some of those with you here. Some about OCD and obsessive cleaning. He just has some weird, funny songs that I like. Well, you're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek, and I am with Helena B. from up there in Rhode Island. And, of course, Coach Jen is with us today producing the show. And Jennifer is going to tell us what the prizes are coming up on Really Bad Ads this week on Friday. Oh, and we have to take Jennifer off of mute first so that she can actually talk. Okay, try it again.
Am I allowed to talk now?
You can talk now.
Permitted?
Yes.
I want like a real life mute button so when I'm talking to somebody, I can just be like,
shut up.
Mute. Mute. There's going to be an app for that. What's that?
Oh,
I'm
going to
do my electric bill. There's going to be an app for that. It's called the mother-in-law app.
Oh, that's great. I like that.
Dr. Rose's Remedies gets back. This week on Friday's Really Bad Ads, someone will win a gift pack from Dr. Rose's Remedies. Dr. Rose's Remedies skin treatment salve and spray are 100% all natural products. They are anti-inflammatory, antibacterial, antiviral, antifungal, and anti... No, not going there. Dr. Rose's are made from all human-grade ingredients and are safe and effective treatment for scratches, cuts, abrasions, and scrapes, and especially this time of year, skin funk. Also works on itchy, scratchy spots on your cat. Ask for Dr. Rose's Remedies at your local tack and feed supplier, or you can visit them online at drrosesremedies.com.
Hey, you know how
also on this week.
Wait a minute. Well, you know how Dr. Rose's could make a fortune? If he could make some skin treatment salve and spray that if you rub it on annoying people, they become less annoying. That'd be great.
There we go. Just get a mute button. Go for it. I'll email that to Tony later today.
Yeah, you make a fortune.
He'll get right on it.
Yeah.
Also on this week's Really Bad Ads, the Ultra Shield Fly Protection Package. Throughout the spring, summer, and fall seasons, when pesky biting insects are harassing our horses, the type of fly protection we put on our horses changes. With four distinct fly control options, Ultra Shield EX, Ultra Shield Red, Ultra Shield Sport, and my favorite, Ultra Shield Green, the Ultra Shield family allows you to rotate your protection across a broad range of conditions. Look for absorbing Ultra Shield fly protection products at your local tack and feed supplier, or you can visit them online at absorbing.com, where, by the way, you can find downloadable coupons.
Very good. Thank you, Jennifer. And, of course, Really Bad Ads. You send them. Don't post them on our Facebook page. Send them to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com with Really Bad Ads in the subject line. And she has those. They all pile up. And every week she picks a batch of them out for Friday's show. So we'll be doing that on Friday. So get your Really Bad Ads in. While we're waiting for the horse and Dr. Jones to get on the line, I wanted to mention to everybody that we are applying today. Our iPhone and Android apps for the Horse Radio Network are going into the app stores for approval. So within the next week or two, they should be up and running. And as soon as they are, we'll let you know. Helena, we did all the final testing yesterday, got all the bugs out, and it's just going to be an easy, simple way for you to listen to our shows. All the shows will be on there. You just download the app to your Android or iPhone or your iPod or whatever, and you don't have to worry about iTunes then. It's just they're all going to be there. You pick the show you want to listen listen to. It'll show you the last like 20 episodes. You pick the episode you want to listen to and you either download it to listen to it later on your phone, or you can stream it live right on your phone as well. So it's going to be very simple and easy to use, and that's the way we wanted it to be, so that there's no excuses for people not to listen. Just simple.
Okay.
So iTunes, so, you know, a lot of people are having trouble with iTunes, figuring out how to sync it and, you know, how to make sure all the shows were, and sometimes the shows weren't getting there. And so this should simplify it all. And anytime you open it, it'll automatically update the show list so that you always have the most current show, no matter what time of day. If the show's out, you'll get it on your phone. So that's coming up here very shortly. We'll let you know.
I love it. It sounds official.
Very good. It is time, Helena, for this.
It's time for the weekly health report from thehorse.com. Fantastic information and their attempt to ruin Glenn's lunch every week.
And our next segment from thehorse.com is the Weekly Horse Health Report. And we have Erica Larson. She's the news editor of thehorse.com. And she's going to be talking with Dr. Jones this week. So welcome to Erica.
Thank you. Good to be here.
What are we talking about today? We've got a bunch of questions and some interesting stuff that we're going to be you're going to be talking to Dr. Jones about.
Yes, that's right. This week we are talking about summer horse health care. And I know here in Kentucky it's pretty warm at the moment. We're in the mid-80s, and it's definitely summertime. So we're going to talk to Dr. Jones about all different things horse owners should know about caring for their animals when it's warm out.
And I think that's we have Dr. Jones on here. Hello, Dr. Jones.
Good morning.
There she is. Okay, good. How are you?
I'm doing well. How's everybody else doing?
Good. It's good to have you back.
Glad to be back.
Before you get into the summertime things, can I ask a quick question of Dr. Jones, Erica?
Absolutely. Have at it.
Well, Chantel is making her way up. A tropical storm is supposed to be coming right over the state of Florida this weekend. Now, it's not supposed to be a hurricane, but it'll be a huge rain event here in Florida, and will douse us like we haven't been getting enough rain this year. What do you see in your practice, Dr. Jones? You're right above Orlando, so you're right in the middle of the state. What do you see when these tropical storms and light hurricanes come across? Do you see certain things? You know you're going to get certain calls every time when these storms hit?
Colic is the number one.
Really?
Because of the change of weather seems to upset some of the stomachs of some of the sensitive horses. So colic's number one.
That's not what I expected.
Number two would be cuts. Mild cuts and lacerations. I don't get like dismembered bodies or anything like that, because we really don't get that bad of storms on the in the central area, which is good. But that's from them running into things or things that are in their field that normally is not in the field, that has come out from neighbors' houses or off the roofs or things like that. So when they say to tack down things when these storms come through, they really do mean it, because you know anything that's been tossed over can cause a problem in the pastures with the horses.
Okay.
And those are my two big things.
Very good. All right, Erica. Sorry about that.
No problem. All right. Well, Dr. Jones, it's good to talk to you again. What are some of the big horse health problems you see during the hot summer months?
Well, number one, here in Florida, I don't know how bad of a problem it would be in Kentucky, but I do know it's a problem in the Gulf states. So Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana is anhidrosis. And that's when the horse's sweating system shuts down. We still don't have a rhyme or reason of what causes it or how to fix it, but there's a lot of options out there, and they just need to talk to their veterinarian about either how to control it as best they can or how to treat it as best they can. The second thing is heaves. Heaves here in Florida, now that's a wintertime thing up north, but down in the south it's a summertime thing, and it's either due to what's blooming in the field and or added to it is the deep humidity we get here in Florida as well as along the other Gulf states. So we have very bad heavy horses. And then, of course, what we always fear is the colic. And colic is due to dehydration. And I can't say that they're colicking because they're dehydrated. They're colicking because the dehydration starts a cascade of problems, which is basically a royal constipation, which we call an impaction in a horse, that the horses will get when they are not drinking a sufficient amount of water during the summer heat. Either it's not supplied to them or they're just not recouping it for themselves fast enough, as fast as they're sweating it off, either because they're in work or they're in a very hot pasture with very little shade.
So obviously keeping horses hydrated is very important during the summer. So how much does an average horse need to drink? And if a horse doesn't seem to want to drink that much, are there any ways to encourage them to drink?
Well, the whole phrase, you take a horse to water, you can't make him drink, is so true, so very true, because usually my post-colics, I like to see them drink a lot of water, and even in the surgery hospitals, they want to see them drink a lot of water after they've taken them off fluids, and they just can't seem to encourage them with any kind of tricks that they've tried. The average is 10 gallons a day, and that's just average. It's going to go up significantly when you get your horse in training. Even if you ride at the cool times in the morning or the evenings, 10 gallons may not be sufficient enough for a horse that sweats quite a bit. The trying to get them to drink, the competitive trail ride people and some of the three-day event people after their endurance phase on cross country have used those paced electrolytes to try to encourage a horse to drink after a good run or during the competitive trail rides or endurance trail rides. Electrolytes, people like to put them in the water to see if they can drink them down. I always tell people you can do that, but make sure you have a normal water source, because if that's their only water source and they don't like the smell of it or the taste of it, now you've just dehydrated them more by not allowing them to drink it. So if you're going to try that for the first time, make sure you offer them their normal water source. The other option is the electrolytes in their feed, and that's always a good thing you can try in the summertime, and then the free choice electrolytes either in a block form or the thrown granular forms.
All right, and switching gears a little, how hot is too hot to ride? You mentioned some people, some endurance or eventers, you know, are out there working hard. So how hot is too hot?
It's a combination of heat and humidity. So I can't say at 95 degrees that's going to be too hot, because it could be 95 degrees in Arizona and just be dry as a bone and the horses do perfectly fine. It could be
that'd be cool there.
Yeah, 95 degrees here in Florida and have 100% humidity, and you're galloping on a cross-country trail or through, you know, in an open pasture, and your horse is going to come back in dripping wet and have some issues. So it's going to be a combination of the heat and humidity. You don't want a combination that's going to basically put your horse's core temperature over 102 or 103. And that's an easy judgment when you're riding, is that when you're done riding, take the horse's temperature, because it's going to be hot. So if you're staying around 102 after a good ride, you're probably at a good place, because you'll cool them off with the hosing them or take the saddle off and hand walk them, and you'll take a temperature about 10 minutes later and it's already down to 101 and change or 100 and change. You know your horse is doing just fine. If they're staying up at 102 plus, you're having a bigger issue and they're not able to cool off. So you need to get in front of fans, misting fans, do some cold water ice baths, things like that. And the reason they're staying that high is because you've got added humidity added to it, and that's your problematic area.
If when a rider is riding, is there anything they can watch for to indicate their horse might be having a problem with the heat?
The respiratory rate.
Okay.
You're sitting on your horse and you're rocking in a rocking chair. They're rocking you so hard because they can't seem to gasp their breath or catch their breath. That is too hard. Now, granted, you're going to get that after a gallop, but they should recover fairly quickly if they're fit. If they are fit and they're not recovering, and recovery should be within about a 5 to 15-minute recovery period. 5 is a really fit horse. 15 is one that's working into becoming fit. And if you're not getting that recovery that quickly, you are having some significant problems.
All right. Now, does heat and humidity impact very old or very young horses differently than it does your average adult horse?
Well, just like in humans, the young horses bounce back quicker than the older. So, yes, the older horses are ones that we pay more attention to than the younger horses. The anhidrosis, the shutting down of their cooling system, that can affect a horse at any age. I've seen it at 7-year-olds, and I've seen it at 15-year-olds. So, again, I can't say that all old horses have problems, but those that are fit are going to have less problems than those who are not.
All right. And what are some effective management changes owners can make to help their horses handle the heat
such as maybe they switch to night turnout or use some fans installs? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, there's that's done a lot by a lot of my clients on their own. It's just common sense, as you would say. The switching them to night turnout is a fantastic idea. The negative to that here in Florida, and also, again, along the Gulf states that are very wet, is the no-see-ums that will feast on the horse that have some allergies or fly allergy issues. And those horses will become have more dermatitis problems and be more aggravated with the bugs at night than those that don't have those allergy problems. So if you have an allergy problem on a horse, you're going to be kind of stuck with very little options because you won't be able to do night turnout. You can do a few hours in the morning, bring them in during the heat of the day, and then a few hours before it turns night in the afternoon. Fans on the stall is always a plus. Please be careful of the fans. I believe there's some that have been known to burn barns down, so please check the electrical UL listings, I guess, on these fans and which ones you should leave alone and which ones you shouldn't. Keeping the dust off of your fans is a huge thing, too, and off the electrical. And of course, the wiring should be good. The hosing them down. I have some clients that actually have three-sided lean-tos out in open pastures that have no trees, so they have shade to get underneath, that have either fans put in there or they have a misting hose put at the top of the roof, and the horses actually stand underneath those and cool themselves off. They will seek it out in the heat of the day and stand under those misting fans or misting hoses. And those are just like the ones they have in the parks that people go to where you stand in front of them and you actually don't get soaking wet. You feel the light mist on you, it cools off your body, and it evaporates. So you're not getting wet, the horse is not getting soaking wet, but it just does enough to cause the evaporation and the cooling of the skin.
And are there any tips you have for owners that might have to trailer their horses when the temperatures are very hot? I mean, I know it can get pretty warm in trailers.
Don't do it if you can avoid it. B, if you have to go somewhere, meaning if you have a veterinarian appointment, I have a client that's going tomorrow in the middle of the day to the university for a very involved workup, and it's an older horse, and they're concerned about it too. So what they're going to do is just do the light wraps on the legs, because I always like legs wrapped when they go, so not a heavy wrap on the legs so they're not sweating, and a fly mask on the face so they can open all the vents and all the doors, of course with the screens on them, so that they don't get anything in their eyes as they're moving. And really that's the best thing, and then possibly take them off. That's a two-hour trip, so they'll take them off and they'll probably hose them down or cool them down fairly quickly into the shade area. If you're having to travel cross-country, some of these commercial haulers will have air conditioning in their units, or they may do a little bit more stops during the hot part of the day.
I do have a question on that. So we've had this situation before, and I'm sure everybody has. You're hauling in the summertime, and you're fine as long as you're moving. You know, you're on the highway, right. Traffic's moving, right. And there's wind blowing through the trailer, you're in pretty good shape. But if you get stuck in a traffic jam and you're sitting there for an hour and a half, you can't really take the horses off the trailer. You're just stuck. You know, you're stuck and the horses are stuck. What do you do?
The only thing you can do is offer water to the horses at that time.
Yeah, that's about it.
If you can try to soak them down in the trailer, but you will make a slick surface for them to stand on. And that's the negative of doing, you know, like a rinsing down of them and then sweat scraping them to try to lift the hair and cool them off. But, yeah, offering them water is the best thing. If you can get a sheriff to help you out and get you off the road, that would be the best thing. See if the sheriff will get you onto the shoulder, drive down the shoulder, and get off an exit ramp, and then find a place to get them off the trailer or find a different route. But, yeah, those are the really, really bad scenarios, very bad scenarios that are out there.
Hey, it's the same, you know, we talk
about. They have fans, though, that you can put fans in the trailers that are made by some of the RV supply companies that are safe for that.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? Yeah,
that's I like
anything
those. I had a client that actually did commercial hauling for us, and they had air conditioning in their horse trailer. So it is possible to put air conditioning in there. The reason they did is they are part of the, it was a program that was aired on Animal Planet called Pets, and it's a gentleman with the last name of Peterson that hauls animals from certain states to other states for adoptions. And so he takes them from these kill facilities, takes them all out of there, and takes them up to places where they are actually looking for certain breeds and adopting them. So, you know, I find it kind of silly that they're taking dogs from Florida up to New York, and I'm thinking, what, does New Yorkers need out-of-state dogs to adopt?
They don't have enough of their own.
They were looking for certain types, I suppose. And this gentleman, he had a program that was aired on Animal Planet to showcase his company he runs, and they all have air conditioner trailers in their horse trailers because they put them in crates in these horse trailers and crate them from one state to another, and they're all in air conditioning. So that's what this client of mine did, and at the same time, they offered up horse commercial hauling for the horses as well, and they had air conditioners for the horses.
Hmm.
So you can put an air conditioning unit in your horse trailer as well.
I wouldn't
I wouldn't know why not. I feel a whole sub industry coming on, you know? Retrofit our trailers with ACs.
I mean, the more I hear about all these other things, the more I'm thinking I could never own the trailer that I actually want because it's going to have such luxury in there for my horse.
All right. Well, these are really helpful tips where, I mean, I was paying close attention because I'm up in the Northeast, but I'll tell you, it gets really hot and humid here, and we've got a lot of management issues, particularly the bugs, the heaves, all of that stuff. And, you know, sometimes I think we work our horses just a little bit harder because we're not in the South. We're not in those states where you have to really pay a lot of close attention. So these are really very helpful hints for us. Thank you both, Dr. Jones and Erica, for joining us today.
It's my pleasure.
You guys will be back again next week, right? We'll have you again next week.
That sounds great.
And Dr. Jones, what's your website?
It's Florida, spelled out FloridaEquine.com, or our Facebook page is Florida Equine Veterinary Service. It doesn't have the S on the end, service, for our Facebook page. And I also am going to put in a really cheap plug for next Wednesday, this July 17th at 10 p.m. on the Uplifting Channel will be the start of the Bullock Family Ranch, which is a reality show based off of a couple that is good friends of mine. We will be doing some farrier work on one of their episodes. Florida Equine Veterinary Services will be doing some farrier work with the farrier Rusty Bullock.
On what channel again?
It's the Uplifting Channel. It used to be the old GMC channel. It's a reality show that's based on family taking in kids that just need a little more direction in life, and they've given them the direction without any foster care work that they've had to go through, paperwork that they had to go through. The kids just kind of come and go to their ranch, and they have to work on the ranch in order to eat and, you know, have a good place to come to for security reasons. And they've had about 25 kids come through the house ever since I've known them about 17 years ago. So outside of their two biological kids, they call these other kids their children. And they just give them good direction in life. And the gentleman is also a farrier, and we've done a couple interesting farrier jobs for the two seasons that they're going to have. And their season premiere is next Thursday or next Wednesday, the 17th at 10 p.m. on Uplifting Channel. It's 168 on Bright House here in Orlando, but I'm not sure what it is on the Dish channels.
There's all these channels we don't know about. And look at you becoming a TV star. I always said, you know, I have the face for radio, which is why I do it. But look at you. You obviously have the face for TV.
Well, we had a lot of fun with them. And like I said, they're a very great family. You can go to the BullockFamilyRanch.com website and see some of the aired commercials they have on there and get an idea about what the program's about. But it's going to be a very interesting program, and it starts next Wednesday.
Terrific. Well, thank you, Dr. Jones. And, of course, Erica from thehorse.com. Do you have any articles that relate to summer heat that you wanted to talk about?
We do. Yeah, we've got a great article. We pulled together 10 of our good summer horse care resources, and you can get that by visiting thehorse.com/32127, and that will take you right to that summer horse care resource article.
Very good. Thank you, Erica. Thank you, Dr. Jones.
Take care.
Well, that was fun. Now, before we get off of horse health, are the mosquitoes bad in Rhode Island right now?
They are bad today, this week, because it's been really, really humid.
Yeah,
ours, they're just starting to come out now.
Ours, too. We've had a very, very wet, you know, raining almost 2 inches almost every day here for the last month. And just now, the mosquitoes are starting to come out really bad. Well, I have good news for you, though. The Rhode Island environmental officials say that they have tested a large batch of mosquitoes statewide, and all of the mosquitoes came back negative for West Nile virus and EEE. So far they haven't found any infected mosquitoes yet in Rhode Island. The bad news is that the heavy June rainfall has brought a bumper crop of mosquitoes, so you're going to have a lot of them this year, so. Just saying that. That's the bad news.
Yeah, I rode my horse at 7 o'clock this morning. I tried to get on between 6:30 and 7:30 at some point. And I was thinking, oh, I'll beat the bugs, I'll beat the heat. And we actually went out on a road hack today because my schooling field is sort of surrounded by, well, you know, Rhode Island's a swamp. Compton's a swamp, actually. And as soon as we got back in through, you know, onto my property, the mosquitoes are like, hi, hi, where you been? Oh, my God, you were gone for so long. Can we eat now? Hi. It was crazy. And so I'm walking, so I get off of Brody, and he's following behind me. I've got the reins in my hand, and I've got, like, stuff, you know, like, took my helmet off. And I ride with a fly whisk in the summer. And the mosquitoes are attacking me. So he's behind me, and I've got the fly whisk, and I'm, like, whisking myself. I scared the bejesus out of Brody. He's not used to the whisk coming at him from the front. I was like, oh, my God, I am a classic idiot. But, yes, the mosquitoes are bad, and that's my mosquito story for the day.
Jennifer made up a batch of, what is that, Jennifer, you make? That special tea? Tea, anti-tea repellent?
Catnip fly repellent. Catnip mosquito repellent. Yes.
That's right. Catnip. She brewed up some catnip yesterday, so I sprayed that all over Beaker this morning and sprayed it on myself because as I was spraying Beaker, I was getting bit by mosquitoes, and it's like, why should he have all the protection, you know? And I came in the house, and the cat attacked me. No, just kidding. But that's what you feel like. You're putting catnip all over yourself. You're going to get attacked by every cat in the neighborhood.
Better than the mosquitoes.
We're going to go out this afternoon, and Beaker's going to have 25 stray cats like clinging to him.
You need a cat whisk.
A cat whisk. Hey, that's it for today. We're going to call it a day here on Horses in the Morning. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you so much for calling to play the wheel. What a bunch of smart people we had playing today. I thought really that some of those questions would stump them, but they knew the answers. And thank you to all our sponsors and all the sponsors who donate all the terrific prizes. We gave away some good prizes today. So and a bag of colorful combs to that poor child who called in and got that answered right. But maybe she'll have some fun with the colorful combs. Thank you, Helena, for joining us. We'll be back here again live on Friday. We'll have a recorded show for you tomorrow. And, of course, Helena and I do the Stable Scoop show every week. Listen in at stablescoop.com. That show will be coming out tomorrow. We want you to join us. We would love for you to be there. Thank you, Helena.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
And thank you, Jennifer, for putting all the guests together and taking all the calls.
You're welcome, Glenn.
Have a great one, everybody. Wear your helmets.
All professional.
That's right. Don't neuter without professional help.
Oh, good heavens.